Good evening, everybody. Al, would you lead us in a pledge?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Al. Let the record show that all the directors are present tonight. Item 3, agenda approval. And Al, I believe you have something to add.
Yes, actually, I have a comment to make, and then I have something to possibly add to the agenda. The comment that I want to make is that for agenda item 11, that there would be alternative energy. There was a letter that was in that package that was a backup support letter, and only part of it got published. I made full copies of the letter. They were available on the back table back there, but I wasn't expecting a large crowd. But we have the full letter available, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention. The other item is that, just to kind of be quick in my synopsis here, for quite some time we've been looking for closure for the transitional funds from CSA 56.
Right.
And I got some information on that late Saturday, so that after we could put it on the agenda during the normal routine. And again, I just got some more information today that looks like perhaps there's still more information to come forward.
Okay.
Perhaps at the end of this week or beginning of next week, I may end up having to request a meeting. But
okay.
I do have information here. If the board wants to put it on the agenda, you can. That's about 8 pages of information. And
it's about that transference of money from CA 56, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And my suggestion is possibly to hold them off until I can get all the information together now.
Okay.
I've had it all, but there's one popping up.
There's more stuff. Okay. So if we just don't add it to the agenda, then we're okay until you get more information.
I think that'd be best.
Okay. I would like to change the agenda in one manner. I think everybody's here for maybe item 11. Maybe. So we should probably move that to the top so everybody doesn't have to wait, okay? So I move that we accept that we approve the agenda with the exception of moving item 11 up to right after agency reports.
I second. Did you make a motion?
Yes.
Okay, I'll second that motion.
Okay. All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, the agenda is approved. And public comments. Come on up to the mic and state your name so it gets on the recording.
My name is Anna Cush.
Could you? And the mic's a little. You got it. Kind of speak in. No, maybe it's not working.
I'm Anna Cook.
Yeah, it's not working.
Not working.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go.
Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Is that better? Yeah.
All right. Help me to speak louder.
Yeah. Well, this isn't, no? Because I think this is very important. Does that help? No?
She's working on it.
Yeah.
Stepping on it?
That's better.
Okay. To begin with, I just wanted clarification on the local nonprofit that we're talking about. Because it states, one town at a time. I'm not familiar with that one. I'm familiar with one town. So I went on the Secretary of State's website, and one town at a time was out of San Diego, and it has nothing to do with renewable energy. Actually, it has something to do with pertaining to villages down in Mexico. So, are we talking about one town at a time, or one town?
I think it's one town.
Okay, but that's not what the documents say.
Okay.
That's their official name, is One Town at a Time. They just go by One Town. People in town know them as One Town, but they're One Town at a Time. They're not a San Diego-based profit. They're based out of, or non-profit. They're based out of...
Okay, but if you go to the Secretary of State website, where that's where you have to be registered, it is One Town, Inc. If anybody wants copies, you can have it.
Okay, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, thank you.
I think there's a spokesperson for One Town today.
I'm here to speak for One Town and answer questions later on.
Okay.
Well, I just think it's important that
sure.
we have the right name.
Of course, yeah. Thank you. Any other public comments?
Yeah, come on up to the mic.
My name is Lee Cook. I'm right there. I can't say really that I'm disappointed in this board because I never had the least bit of confidence in you in the first place. You're pushing for a wind farm. Now, it would at least be nice if you would be honest with us. You keep referring to a wind turbine. We're only going to have one? Anybody? How many are we going to find? One, five, 10, 100? I'm asking you a question.
It's not our project.
Not your project. Whose right. project is it?
It's One Town.
One Town.
One Town's project.
It's here for a review by us, but it's not our
okay,
project.
Okay, then are you in favor of this?
That's for us. We're going to discuss that.
Okay, yeah. Because it's really, the paperwork we have here talks about one turbine. It says they're going to correct the terrible level of electrical service we have in Wrightwood with, quote, continuous power outages. Our service is excellent and has been improving. We've gone through a big winter with almost no problems. So what's to improve? And this electrical turbine farm, or whatever single turbine, is not going to feed power to Wrightwood. It's going to feed it into the electrical grid. Won't do a darn thing to improve our reliability. And where... they're going to use the money to buy us electric cars. Has anybody ever heard the old thing? Nothing. There's no free lunch. I mean, come on. That's absolutely absurd. If you are looking at this project impassionately and dispassionately, I urge you to please consider the wishes of the people and vote this thing down. We don't need a bunch of noisy, failing wind turbines in our mountains. They've tried this. The County Board of Supervisors just in the last couple of weeks came up with a resolution supporting a number of desert communities that have been fighting this for some time. They were going to build an enormous wind farm out there. Well, all these things all seem to go until the subsidies run out, and then they sort of wind down and wind up laying on the ground. They're horrible. They kill the birds. They're ugly. They're noisy. Who wants them? I don't. Anyway, everything that letter that we got said is just patently false. It's not going to improve service to Wrightwood. It's not going to give us an electric car. And they keep referring to a wind turbine on 5 acres. Come on, there's no way a wind farm on 5 acres is going to be anywhere near financially viable. Who's going to pay for this thing? Taxpayers? Somehow along the line, you're going to get subsidies? Are they planning on using subsidies? Where does the subsidies come from? From us. I am left with a quote of a description of a liberal as being someone who wants to pay their debt to society with someone else's money. And I, that's what I see here. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, come on up.
Recognizing me?
Come on up. Sure. Sure, of course.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
I have a couple of concerns about...
Can you just state your name really quick?
My name is Bruce LeClaire.
Thank you.
I'm a resident of Wrightwood. I'm looking at the Wrightwood Community Service District's visions. It talks about empowerment to the community. It talks about promoting vibrant park and recreation. It talks about maintaining and current infrastructure. It talks about economizing solid waste. It talks about protecting nature. It talks about all these M's. I don't see anything here about supporting a private industry who wants to put up a windmill farm. I don't see how you folks can even think about doing this. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's out of your purview. It has nothing to do with what you are up here for. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Any other public comments? Come on up.
Hi, well, since we're talking about...
Can you say...
My name is John Rice, 43-year resident of Wrightwood. One of the last things I need is a wind farm. Now, you guys talk about reducing our carbon footprint. Are you kidding me in Wrightwood? Carbon footprint? If you want to reduce our carbon footprint... shut down Mountain High and stop the weekend traffic. You'll shut down our carbon footprint by 90%. Now, I'll tell you, this is ridiculous, and I want no part of this. And if you guys put this through, I think you'll be out of office soon.
All right. Any other public comments?
Come on up.
Folks. My name is Elliot Smith, Wrightwood resident, and you know, among many other items that have been, points that have been made here, I would like to point out that I believe a great many people in Wrightwood have moved here for the ambiance, the rural ambiance, the forest, the natural environment in which we exist, and I personally feel that a wind farm will go a great, great distance to destroying that ambiance. And wind farms, as has been pointed out earlier, are not quiet. They do also do considerable damage to bird populations. In general, I think it is just an item that is completely out of place here in Wrightwood. It is unnecessary, and from all that I have seen and read so far, really would do absolutely nothing to improve the reliability of power in Wrightwood. And for that matter, for that reason, those reasons, I feel that it is entirely unnecessary and looks more like a commercial project designed to benefit a small number of Wrightwood residents rather than be a benefit to those of us in general here in Wrightwood. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Elliot.
Come on up.
My name is Brad Reed. I'm a short timer here. I've only lived here for 20 years. my job, while I was the chief engineer of the Air Force Space and Missile Systems Center, was to put in systems like this, not only systems like this for wind power, but solar energy, geothermal, hydroelectric, and sometimes wind power. It's apparent to me just from the letter that these people don't know what they're doing. Does anyone know how much power a hairdryer takes?
1,500 watts.
About 1,500 watts?
Yeah.
Well, let me read you from this letter. According to SBE several years ago, the project could produce $900,000 in annual revenue from a 1.5 kilowatt wind turbine. Does anyone know what 1.5 kilowatts is? 1,500 watts. So we're going to be powering a hairdryer or something like that. And making $900,000 at the same time. People who put this letter together haven't done their homework. Before you do something like this, you have an environmental impact study. Before you do that, you find out what is appropriate for the area. So I don't think hydroelectric, for example, would be appropriate for this area, just on the face of it. Or maybe wave power, that wouldn't be appropriate. Certainly geothermal with shifting rounds wouldn't be appropriate. And so I haven't seen anything that tells me or tells me that you folks have seen that there's been an environmental impact study to start out with. Well, when you start out with the environmental impact study, then you go on with, well, what is the appropriate thing to do? I haven't seen that either. Then you find out what's it really going to cost in terms of the assets of the community. There are some folks here who don't like the fact that it's going up because it might hurt birds. Well, that might be one of the things that you worry about. Which some people are worried about. Maybe it's going to create too much noise. Again, I haven't seen studies or by this group to inform you on a decision to support their venture. So with just this little thing alone that they forwarded to you, not quite sure you can make a decision. In fact, I think you can't make a decision based on this. So if it was up to me, and I still do these, by the way, the last set of projects I did was in Afghanistan in 2012 for one of the bases out there. I'd vote no on this until I got more information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Okay, let's move on to the...
Whoa.
Okay. Come on.
My name is Mark Masutri. I'm a short time with her for 15 years. My basic concern, I agree with everybody since they came before me.
Sir, can you speak louder, please?
Oh, I've been here for 15 years. I'm a short timer. I agree with everybody that came before me about what they said about their concerns about this thing, and also the fact of why is our service district getting involved in this at all. The thing that concerns me also, that I was mentioned, is that once we allow these wind turbines in here, what's to stop them from bringing in more and more and more? Once you open that door, open that gate, it opens, you know, it becomes the normal, and who knows how many they're going to want to put on every ridge around here. I mean, we have no guarantee that that wouldn't happen. Because if you make that exception, it's gonna fall through. You know, it's gonna allow everybody else to pull their wind turbines too. I know everybody's quick to jump on the green energy bandwagon, but we really don't know what the impact would be on our forest. And I think our forests are already stressed enough. We don't need to be adding more stress. If one tree is taken down to put this project up, that's one tree too many. That's 100 years of growth. It just seems to me that it's not practical to put that kind of stress on our forests anymore. You know, basically, those are my concerns. Why would we want this? It doesn't seem that's going to benefit anybody in the town.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Any other public comments? Come on up.
My name is Dee Potter, and I am a resident of Wrightwood. And I moved to Wrightwood for the ambiance that Wrightwood provides us, to the friendly people, the wonderful things that we try to do to keep our town beautiful. And I just think that this type of effort to change things in this manner is not what we need. We need more attention on our parks and recreation. We need more attention on our lighting, which is not very good. And there are other issues that are in your statements that you are supposed to be taking care of. And I just think that anything that destroys our forest and our trees would be just the most awful thing for us to happen to our town. And I, for one, would just like to see you pay more attention to what you have been charged to do. and forget all this other stuff. And I have one more thing to say. We had a terrible wind and rainstorm on Valentine's Day. We had 60 and 70 mile wind gusts on Apple. Mm-hmm. On Apple, we've had a lot of outages in the past. That storm never even flickered my lights. Edison has been working their tail off to improve our service. And it's a very involved chore for them to accomplish, and they're working very, very hard on it. And I think letters of appreciation should be sent to them because they are doing a good job. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay. No other public comments. We'll move on to agency reports.
Good evening, Board. Greg Herbert, current captain of the Victor Valley Station, but in 3 weeks I won't be.
I'm not counting down.
But like I said, at the last meeting, I was going to introduce my replacement. This is Shelly Crosby. She's currently the lieutenant in Hesperia, and she's getting promoted to captain, and she's going to take my position. So
hi, Shelly.
Let her talk to you guys a little bit about herself.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. My name is Shelly Crosby. I've been on the Sheriff's Department for about 21 years now, and I do see a few familiar faces in the crowd here. Some of you might remember I was here as a sergeant back in 2012 and 13, and I was assigned to the Phelan Station at that time. So I was here coming to these meetings pretty regularly back during that time. So my assignment starts on March 30th, so after March 30th, I will be officially at the Victor Valley Station, and I'm excited to get back here. I'm a little bit familiar with the area, so I will keep myself caught up on what's new and what's happening now. So anyway, very happy to be here.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Where's the business card?
Hi, good evening. Carl Hegley with the San Bernardino County Fire Department, Station 14, Wrightwood. Kelly Anderson, our chief, was meant to be here tonight. We had a two-alarm fire in Hesperia today. Roof collapsed. One of our firefighters fell through. Got flown to the burn center. He is doing well.
That's good.
So a blessing on that one. As you guys also mentioned, we had the wind event of earlier this month with numerous downed trees. This starts again tonight. Just keep your eyes open. Just watch. If you need us for any reason, give us an early start. Get out of the house. You know, the community did really, really well. Stay out of the flooded creeks. As far as stats this year, up to this point, we've had Mountain High. We're into the well over 100 911 calls to Mountain High.
Wow.
They have been absolutely awesome at least giving us a heads up on the weekends that they anticipate more than 5,000 people. And we've been trying to staff a second ambulance so that we still keep one in Wrightwood and then one to handle those calls. And then, as you guys all know, the snow players. So last weekend we had two over-the-side rescues down ice chutes, two children, two separate events in the exact same spot, 2 days apart. We went down with ropes, recovered them. They were fine. First week after our snowmageddon, you know, a little light dusting that we had, it was taking us over an hour to get to Wrightwood, to Mountain High, because of the snow players. CHP, sheriffs, LASD, LA Sheriff's Department, man, the last couple weekends, they just cleared this place out. We just cruised through there like a normal weekend. So, whoever put the bug in the arena, well done. Other than that, does anybody have any questions? I'm pretty certain Chief Anderson will be here next time, but she kind of called me at 6:45 and kicked me to the curb and said, get over there. Yes, sir.
I'd just like to comment to the sheriffs.
that I've noticed the last couple of big weekends we've had with a million people up here, they've had sheriff's officers, units in the area. They've tried to keep the people from playing in your yards. They're really, they're doing a much more aggressive job this year, and we definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, anybody else, any other questions? Well, thank you guys very much.
Thank all right,
you.
Thank you.
Tonight, you know the importance of staying dry.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert Picari with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, and I'm assigned to the Phelan Sheriff Station. Last month, now don't gasp, and I know you are. Last month in Wrightwood, we had 279 calls for service and a total of 15 reports. I'll explain. We had a total of 15 reports that were taken and two arrests. For your high call volume in Wrightwood, 58 of those calls were vehicle checks directly related to the snow flares. 37 calls were parking violations, 19 calls were trespassing, 16 burglar alarms, and 14 extra patrols. Except for the burglar alarms, those are almost all related to the snow flares and the extra patrols that we had out here. Every single time the deputies stop, they might not stop for every car, but if they put themselves out on a vehicle check at a turnout, that's going to generate a call for service. They move to another turnout, that generates another call for service. So that's probably going to account for almost 100 of your extra calls that you've experienced for last month. In the community of West Cajon Valley, they were normal numbers. They had a total of 30 calls for service, 6 reports taken. There were no arrests. The high call volumes in West Cajon Valley were burglar alarms at 4, area checks at 2, death investigations at 2, and welfare checks at 2. So other than the snow players, that's what generated your call for service.
Thank
all
you. Right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other agencies, Susan?
Oh,
yeah.
Jim Cowan, Golden State Water Company. Just give an update. You know, last time I was here, we were talking about the water supply. Of course, the snowpack and the rain that's been coming is looking promising. But we really won't see anything probably for another month or so as far as a recharge. So that's all we have for the water supply. I told you the last time I was here, we do have a pipeline project coming in. And I'm not sure if everybody's aware of the project going on Sheep Creek Canyon. The county actually is going to put a bridge in that area. So we will be relocating our water line in that area. So we actually are meeting Thursday for a pre-bid meeting with contractors that are going to be involved with our side of the project. And what we're going to be moving the pipeline to the south of Lone Pine Canyon Road, probably about 50 feet. And we have to move it because the bridge is going to come in, and us and gas will be relocating. And after the project is done on the county's portion, we will come back in and redo the line and go across the top of the road with gas. So anyway, that's the project that we have going. And we plan on moving on ours probably late April, early May. So that'll take hopefully only a week for our job to start and finish. But that's what we got going. John.
Jim, where exactly is this bridge located?
It's going to be
located.
It's between Summit and Desert View on Lone Pine Canyon Road. You know, the one that always overflows and gets the debris on it.
So they're talking about a bridge across it?
They're going to go pretty much a bridge across it. It's not really called a bridge. It's got another term for it, but it's like a bridge. But it's going to go from road pretty much level right across from both sides of the creek. So pretty major job. They have been looking at it for the last 2 years, and we've been preparing for this. It kept getting pushed back. Well, now we've been told it's time to go. So we're going to be moving our line there. So anyway, that'll be a project coming up where I would assume Lone Pine Canyon Road is going to be closed down for several months. So make it aware for that, but I can't speak to the county, but I know it's going to be a major job. So any other questions? Brian? So anyway.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, thanks, Jim. Thanks. Thanks. Any other agencies?
Susan Lee?
I didn't
see her. Susan? I saw her earlier.
Saw her earlier. Okay.
Well.
Okay. All right. So we move on to item 11, support letter of the wind energy project discussion, possible action. Okay, and then Natalie, you're going to recuse yourself.
Yes.
From this one.
Excuse me. I'm going to recuse myself from this discussion. I'm not employed by one town, but I'm employed by one of their four board members. Therefore, I'm going to avoid any appearance of a conflict of interest, and I'm going to step out during this discussion.
Thanks, Natalie.
Yeah, I think that that's prudent out of an abundance of caution. I think Director Lopiclo probably does not have a conflict within the meaning of the FPPC regulations, but to avoid the appearance, I think that's prudent to move. If you're going to recuse yourself, the appropriate time to do it is at the beginning of the decision-making process, which she's done. Recuse also requires Director Lopiclo to leave the room.
Okay.
And so that will allow the four remaining board members to discuss this item without.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Steve. All right. Well, so it's a letter of recommendation, right?
Right.
So, Al, were you the one that received this letter? Or how did it come to our board?
I received it. I got the backup material and the template. This is what I put in here, the template of the water, the support letter. I also received it afterwards on digital.
Okay. What, should we have Tyrone up to speak? He said he was here representing one town.
Sure. Is there somebody here from one town?
Tyrone, did you have anything to...
Yeah.
My name is Keith Fisher, and my name is Tyrone. Local musician. I've been here since 2001.
There you go.
My name is Keith Fisher, also known as Tyrone. I'm a musician. I've been here since 2001, and I don't work for one town. I subcontract for one of the board members of one town. I have benefited, not directly, but one town helped out an ex-girlfriend of mine that was in medical school and was in trouble for some credit card debt, you know, that helped her able to stay in Harvard Medical School almost 10 years ago. But, One Town is a local non-profit charitable organization looking for good things to do. They did the community garden. Stephanie, who used to be kind of in charge of One Town, the head of it, she left town, but she started the farmer's market and the walking school bus, and it's just generally a public, it's a non-profit charity looking for good things to do in town. in this case, the windmill or wind turbine idea is not situated anywhere that you would see it in Wrightwood. It's up near some communication towers near the top of Mountain High East, where the only thing up there is the top of the chairlift and some existing over 100-foot high communication towers. I have some photos I can pass out. The only place it's visible from any street is part of the way up Table Mountain Road. You would be able to see the top of that area. And there's a photo simulation here showing some towers that are double-sized. They're talking about the actual design of the tower hasn't been decided. The number hasn't been decided. It's kind of up to the Forest Service and somebody from the state. Obviously, that 1 kilowatt was a typo. The documentation I saw looked like it was 1.3, 1.4 megawatts, possibly. The thing is about this area is they have optimum wind conditions. As you know, I'm kind of surprised there's no towers in Cajon Pass or any place that were so windy to provide renewable energy. I believe in renewable energy. I think, Wrightwood is unique in Southern California. We have our own water well, as Southern California does have, and I think it would be nice if we had our own power, so whatever's going on down the hill doesn't necessarily cut us off. The idea of buying cars is just an idea of providing some kind of battery storage. The profits from this thing, to the extent that there are any payments from Edison to pay back one town, would be reinvested in the community, possibly. One idea is to buy power walls for people so that the power supply could be smoothed out. The power walls are those Tesla, basically a battery for your house, so that when it's not windy, you could draw it down and feed back into the grid. Also absorb the excess power when it is windy, which sometimes it's some of the optimum wind conditions anywhere up on that ridge up there. So I have some pictures here I'll pass out. Showing existing towers up there, and it's kind of hard to see. I wanted to blow this up, but these little things are double-sized towers if they were 160-foot towers. These are visible from the road on Table Mountain. So, these are the existing over 100-foot-high communications towers up there that nobody sees from town. That's the area they're talking about. The 5 acres is already cleared. Yeah. The plan is not to do a big wind farm, to do something modest, and it's a non-profit idea. So I'll pass out the, pass around.
Who owns that property, Keith?
It's Forest Service property, and it's really up to the main ranger what kind of design he approves. There are different kinds of turbines. There's vertical turbines that don't affect the birds as much. There's even turbines that just oscillate from turbulence. They just kind of wave back and forth. It's experiment, to make the town more self-sufficient. And it's not going to be coming from taxes. It's going to be coming from the foundation, from the charitable group. So, to me, and the purpose of asking the CSD, which has no jurisdiction over power or anything like that, is just because our local congressman wanted some support from local elected officials, and these are the only local elected officials we have. If he has seen some support, then he'll, help advocate for working with the Forest Department. The actual design of the towers is also dependent, I think, on someone from the state to consult about that. So the big number and design would be the chief ranger, since it's on forest property, and the person from the state. I think you'll know that our power was out for a long time. We were running off a bunch of generators up at Mountain High in the park. I don't know if anybody saw those, but there's five big stinky diesel generators up there that were running for months. So, there is that infrastructure to bring power down into town as far as that goes.
How many turbines are they planning on?
I don't think one, maybe two. It depends on what the person approves. It's not going to be a wind farm. It's sort of a charitable idea, trying to make the town more of an example to other towns. I mean, we're doing pretty good up here. We have our own water. We have this great new fiber internet, which nobody has. And, if we weren't dependent on the electricity coming down the hill, I don't see how that's a bad thing. I think that's a great thing.
So, really, exactly how is this electricity going to get from this wind generator up by the ski area into our house?
Well, I think there's already high-powered lines run up to the top of Mountain High East. There's already.
So you're going to feed it into the grid?
Yes.
Absolutely nothing to increase our reliability.
Well, sometimes we do have interruptions on the lines coming up at two, the step line, the fire cut out. But, you know, I mean, there have been a lot of interruptions in town. But, you know, I don't think that's the main reason. The main reason is to make it more sustainable. And these are people, the one town people, that have done well, and now they're trying to do good. And there's not really an ulterior motive about it. You know. So, yeah.
Well, I have a problem with the letter that if one town composed it, that they want West to send. Basically, when they're saying that...
Is that the letter dated March 4th?
March 5th.
March 5th. The frequency of electrical outages, I don't see where the wind turbines are going to fix a problem where if it's blowing and the lines are down... Or if a tree falls and the lines are down, or, you know, I don't see how that's going to solve the frequency of it.
If there's power coming into town from two directions, that's probably better than power coming in from one direction.
But wouldn't it be that...
That's not really the main purpose.
But even though it's not the main purpose, it's in the letter. So if, in fact, it were to help out or somehow subsidize the other lines, it would have to be the right conditions, right? The wind would have to be blowing at that time when that other line happened to fail, and then that failure would have to occur, or it would have to be sort of the perfect lineup.
If I can interview for a moment, the letter was given to me as a template.
Yeah.
The board can adjust it, take in, put out, whatever
right.
you want.
Well, and the
but the template is based on the comments, dear board of directors.
Right.
One town at a time is pursuing a letter of support from Wrightwood Community Services with the frequency of electrical outages in Wrightwood, and so on. So it's in there. I'm just saying.
Plus, we really didn't get. You talk about a package. I'm not sure where the package is. I noticed that someone sent me an editorial from the Daily Press where it says San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors, led by Robert Lovingood and Third District's Don Rowe, voted 4-1 on Thursday to approve a policy prohibiting industrial scale renewable energy projects from areas with a community plan and rural living districts. Known as Policy 410 of the county's renewable energy and conservation element, it will prevent massive solar and or wind farms from being developed in areas where people live. We don't have, as Brad mentioned, an environmental study. At least it's not in the packet. There's a lot of unknowns and questions.
This
just seems like something that you want to push through get.
It's at this point, it's more of an idea. It needs to be. If it's going to
so
be
you need the letter of support.
You need a letter of support to even start the idea ball rolling. You know, there will be unlimited environmental.
But this went through, 6 years ago? I know that, but you're asking the impression by writing this letter is the community supports it. And based on what I've heard since this thing hit the airways, there's really, the people I've talked to, there really is no support at all for it. Now, there may be some other people that are supported, for it, and that's fine. But this implies that the board, which represents the community, is saying, yeah, we're for it. And I don't see that from the people that I've talked to, and I don't see the support. I haven't seen the support material. Now, the people from one town doing this, I applaud them. I mean, they put their money where their mouth is. They go out and they try to get stuff done. Sometimes they're not supported by the community. Sometimes they are. And yes, they've done stuff for the community. But this just, for me, it seems underhanded that, you know, that this is going to fix our outages problem, that you don't give a whole bunch of information in the packet. And that bothers me to the point where I certainly won't vote to send a letter in, and I certainly don't want my name associated with it if we have a letterhead that adds the directors on there, and I'd prefer not to have my name associated with a letter saying that we support it.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck.
Do you know if there is going to be an environmental impact study?
Of course. You can't build anything without an environmental impact study.
Do you know when that will be done?
Well, there has to be a design first, and it has to be, you know, so it has to be agreed on what type of, you know, of turbine is acceptable to the state and to the
has to be approved.
To the forest, and then you it's a big process of, you know, there's always a SHPOs and NEPAs and all these things. There are young people involved in this, have a lot of experience in building big projects, so they have a lot of experience running.
Do you want to make a comment? I'm sorry, we're going to have to. Do you want to come up and make a comment, please?
Sure.
I assume that's why you're raising your hand.
What you're doing is difficult to do, and I applaud you for.
Microphone.
You got to state your name and the whole thing. I'm sorry, it's a recording.
Brad Reed, once again. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
What you're doing is very difficult to do, and I appreciate you coming up in front here and trying to work the problem. The board isn't responsible for anything other than looking at what they have in front of them and making a decision. So I'm not going to castigate any of you folks because
you have a difficult job to do.
I'm not going to castigate you either because you're trying to do something you believe is important for here. But, for example, when you came up here and said it would be great to have power running both ways into Wrightwood. In order to be able to do that with a wind farm or a wind turbine, you have to have a storage system to be able to have the power on demand if there was a problem. We're at the end of the line here in Southern California, Edison. So if something happens down below in the field and it cuts off our power, everybody goes out. But a wind tower or a wind turbine... I'm sorry.
There you go.
A wind turbine, I'm not used to yelling. A wind turbine would have to have a storage source and an inverter to be able to take care of the needs of the community. So there are other potential projects you could do that are renewable energy projects that folks might, if you gave folks a choice on a one-to-one basis, for example, in other areas I've worked in. Charitable organizations have put together solar systems that could be rooftop mounted on houses, and people who decided that they wanted to participate in a project like that to reduce greenhouse gases afforded the opportunity to do something like that. Here you're asking an entire community to give you to support you on this. And there's going to be a lot of people who don't want to do that. But what I would suggest is you go back and you find a matrixed approach, a single user approach that people in Wrightwood on an individual basis could say, yes, I'd like to do that, or no, I don't want to do that, and have that as your renewable energy project.
One question for you, sir. When we have power outages in Wrightwood,
It's got to be on the tape.
When we have power outages, we all know they're generally associated with storms, high winds, this sort of thing, snowstorms, etc. Now, you've got these giant wind turbines, blades turning. There has to be a point at which, for safety, and I'm sure there's established rules on this, that wind turbine has to be shut down and blades feathered. It's, you know, you're not going to run this thing at 80 mile an hour winds up there. Or in snow, when the snow's going to build up on the blades, what are the standards for that?
So that's a great question. In order to to save systems that are that size. And so no one in here, most of the people in here in the room don't know me. Mike Troger knows me from way back. I was the chief engineer out at NASA Goldstone. I don't know if you know where that is, but that's 55 miles north of Barstow in the desert, and I worked on the tallest antennas in the world there. They're roughly about 350 feet tall. And there's generally safety standards for safing those antennas. We had 55 miles an hour wind as our safing speed for those antennas. Certainly you couldn't have people working aloft under OSHA over 15 mile an hour wind. So it really would depend on the engineering. I think the point here is the engineering isn't complete. There isn't a plan yet because you're trying to develop a concept. And in order to support development of that concept, usually there are certain things done. And from my point of view, they just haven't been done yet. And again, I'm not trying to degrade your idea.
The simple idea is, the concept is independence for the town, possibly a little bit of energy independence, renewable energy, cutting down greenhouse gases, and that's basically it.
Okay. Well, I said all those things are great ideas, but maybe there's another way to do it. You have things. You have a letter in front of you and a request in front of you, and we're not talking about maybes or perhapses or possiblys. We're talking about you giving a yes vote to an approach. And I work with folks who wouldn't accept that type of argument, the maybes, possiblys, or could. You do it in shall language. We shall put up a tower that's 1.5 megawatts. There will be an energy storage system so that we can power Wrightwood in case they're cut off from the rest of the world. I don't see that language in what's been proposed to you. So all I'm saying is, again, this is me, and if I was in your position, I would vote no until I get more information.
All right, thank you. Michelle?
Sure.
Yeah. Was there more you wanted to say?
Nothing. Just that I really admire you guys. I could never do anything. And it's just a question of not saying no to it at this infant stage. Yeah. It's not a planning commission. It's not a board of supervisors. It's not a plan approval. It's nothing even concrete. It's an idea to help the towns. That's being paid for a terrible organization that wants to help the town. So it's a question of just that simple suggestion that there's some support to the congressman.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Michelle?
Steve, I have a question about, within, so we're in charge of four things. This doesn't fall into our area. I understand now, after Tyrone spoke about why it's on our agenda, because they need some sort of letter to get the ball rolling to proceed any further. But from a legal standpoint, where does this fall in terms of our responsibilities and our... I can't even articulate my question.
The language of the letter is pretty carefully written so that you're not supporting a particular project. The project would not be within your jurisdiction. The environmental review would not be conducted by you or anyone on behalf of the district. You may be deemed a responsible party by U.S. Forest Service as part of their EIS process and by the state of California as part of their EIR process. But the letter is pretty vaguely worded, so it's really just supporting efforts towards advancing the exploration of the wind energy project. So it's really just a matter of whether or not the board is representing the community is supportive of advancing that idea.
If we voted yes on this and sent the letter, to whoever, to whom it may concern, we're basically implying that the community is behind this project. whether it's however it's worded or whatever. I mean, that's the bottom line of what comes out of this letter. And I'm not sure that's true, that the community does support this.
Well, certainly this crowd here tonight does not, but I know like easily 20 people that could counter everybody that spoke tonight support it.
So why are they here?
I don't think they see it as this. I think they saw it as something that we were discussing, but this isn't up to us to instigate this project. This is not within our jurisdiction,
according
and so there was not a... There was not a concern on that side of things. I'm just saying I know a lot of people that support
right.
the exploration.
Yeah.
Not
right.
saying how it's going to all turn out, but
right.
the exploration, yes, absolutely. I don't know that that means there's more that support it than don't. I just mean there are people in this town who exist and live here and have lived here for decades that see it differently than what has been spoken
oh, yeah.
tonight. That's all I'm saying.
No doubt about it, but I also heard tonight that with us sending this letter, that goes to Loving Good's office, and he's looking for support for whatever reason. But by us sending that letter, he is supporting.
Give us 1 minute to talk about it.
So, you know, I mean, if Susan's here, she's probably left.
No, she's here.
Oh, okay. But that's going right to Loving Good's is what they're asking this letter to do.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I heard from the representative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you can see this letter explanation down here. Loving Good, likewise, been briefed on this and is interested in supporting this project.
Right.
I mean, he's got his nod on here.
Well, you know, there's there's things I could say, but it's not appropriate.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying on that.
I'm reading it from the.
Okay.
Well, it seems to me that the letter would not bind the district in any way, shape, or form to supporting a particular project that once that project is developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just a kind of an initiate the discussion kind of letter.
I think it's an exploratory. That's what they're. If it's even feasible to do it.
Right.
But I do agree with Director Franklin's comment that I think that the letter does infer some level of support from the community on that, and that's something for the board to decide whether or not you're comfortable doing that or not.
Well, Leo, what do you think?
What do you think, Mr. Wuss?
You know, I'm on the line. I mean, I really like alternative energy projects. I really like the idea. I don't know if it would turn out or not. I don't mind how windmill looks. I mean, I think generating electricity this way is great, but I also don't see enough detail here. You know, I don't.
I agree with renewable energy too, solar, the cars we drive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more detail on this letter would be
more
appropriate, but maybe this is something that we could have them come back.
Well, and Leo, I don't think it's the letter. I think it's the detail that we were given, which is very sketchy, and it seems like they pulled stuff out from 8 years ago. But, you know, I know it's not a project that started, but they did. They went through this, I don't know, what was it, 8 years ago or whatever?
Yeah,
from
the technology's changed.
Of course it
has.
A lot
of new things going on.
Of course it has.
The whole thing, I think, is exploratory, and I think it's, I mean...
Well,
I think it's
I've said my 2 cents.
I would like to ask Brad a question.
Brad.
Would you be willing to come back up to the mic? Since you've had some experience with this. Several people spoke about the desire to live in Wrightwood is the peace and quiet and community. Do you have, can you give us an idea of the impact of noise? Because it's not in our town. We're talking about up on the ridge, Mountain High. I don't ever hear noise from Mountain High, and I live on that end of town. So how would that actually affect us in town, noise-wise?
The idea that it will make enough noise to be really an impact is probably very low.
Okay.
These things run on electric motors, that have brushless DC bearings, which don't crunch and grind. They're in oil sumps, which allow the lubrication of the motor stator. It's not something that I don't think would create a lot of noise. It's just something that would take up 5 acres of land, according to the letter. Who's going to clear the 5 acres of land?
I thought he said it's already clear. It's already clear.
Yeah, that's.
It's not going to take up the whole 5 acres. There's already 5 acres clear. That's
sure.
There won't be any new roads or clearings.
But the bottom line is you don't have the engineering or the understanding yet. They haven't given you a decibel level that would you could consider in the town. And when I worked with the program element officer, the general at Space and Missile Systems Los Angeles Air Force Base, he would not take this and look at this as something that he could make a decision on. The only thing that he could vote on would be no, because the only way he could vote would be no, because all of the boxes hadn't been checked yet. This is a slippery slope. When you decide that you're going to accept to publish a letter that implies the community wants something, that's not how it's taken from the outside. Representative Cook is going to look at that and say, hey, Wrightwood likes this. So I've worked the politics of this before, and that's how these things work. So you look at, again, you folks have a difficult job, I understand, and I appreciate how difficult it is. If I'm making the decision, I'm not going to vote yes.
Thank you.
Well,
can we hear the public comments? We got like three.
Yeah, we got three.
Well,
John, you were first.
John was first.
Thank you.
John Leneau. We sat in this room years ago, and to give you a little history, when I go back, you know, I am being a historian. And we thought that because across the street, up on the hill above the school, the cell tower was going to ruin our community, and that the sight of that would just take away from our old ambiance of Wrightwood. And then we finally accepted it. Probably 90% of you in here couldn't even point out that cell tower today. And then we decided, okay, well, we put that one in. We really, really need one on the other end of town because they don't communicate and we don't get out far enough to be able to use our cell phones. And we didn't have cell phones in those days because we couldn't communicate here. Then we put the other cell tower up. Probably the rest, 90% of you here couldn't point out that cell tower today on the other end of town by Swarthout Creek. And so here we are talking about a wind turbine. Being an electrician for 40 years, I don't know a whole lot about them, but I've been on wind turbine farms. I've been through their tours and their procedures, like was mentioned here. Because of their construction nowadays, they're extremely quiet. Of course, it depends on how big it's going to be, you know, what the size of it is, and what the noise level will be. And all that will come along sometime in the future to tell you exactly what the decibel levels are for something like that. There was mentioned about, okay, maybe there's not enough wind. Those turbines only have to move to generate electricity. They don't have to spin. All they have to do is be moving, and that generator will pick up the kilowatts. So, of course, the more it spins, a little bit more you get out of it, but it only has to turn. So that's all I have to say at this time.
Thanks, John. Monica.
Monica Ciccarelli, I just wanted to go on the record that I am a resident and I do support the exploration of this. Since you guys said you haven't heard from anybody.
Thanks, Monica.
Thank you for listening to me again. I just wanted to point out one thing that's been discussed, and the sense of the discussion about the letter so far has been, it's a small thing, it's a minor thing. I would beg to differ. That letter, once sent, will create momentum. We've seen that before, even in the creation of the CSD itself. So that letter will create momentum. It is not an insignificant item.
And I just think everybody should be quite aware of that and what the consequences of that might be.
But isn't it true that even though the letter may create some momentum, you're creating momentum against the forestry, right? I mean, against the Forest Service. They might accept a little bit, but they still have to get their wind study. They still have to get environmental impact. They still have to get all these things that are required. This letter in itself only says that it should be explored, that Wrightwood accepts the exploration.
I would point out two things. One, it appears, at least from tonight, that acceptance is quite low. And another thing is the letter itself.
But certainly everybody from the town is not here. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's quite true. And I assume with great certainty that, yeah, there are people who do or are in favor of it. We've seen some tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the other hand, the letter does create momentum. It is at the start of the process. Mm-hmm. You don't get a snowball rolling downhill without something small to start it at the top. And this would be the equivalent of that. It would encourage those further to look into it. If the people of Wrightwood do not want it, then that snowball should never start down that hill. And that opinion of the people of Wrightwood should be gathered first before any action is taken, even to the point of a letter, in my opinion.
You know, that's straight democracy and not a republic, but okay.
Thanks, Ellie.
I don't know.
My name is Jessica.
Can't hear you.
You're going to have to yell into that.
Louder. My name is Jessica Noni, and I support the project as well. And it's difficult to get up and voice support for it because there has been very, very vocal opposition to it. So I think a lot of people who are in support are not here. And everybody I know is in support of renewable energy. And this is in a spot. I know that it's in a spot that where it's fairly visible from the road, so it's not going to have an impact on the ambiance of the town. Also, the wall panels that they were talking about is a good idea, I think, for making sure that, for example, if there were a fire on the two, then we would have the wall batteries that would feed that wind energy back into the grid during such an event, even if there weren't wind energy happening then. Basically, I'm in support, and I think that this is just, you know, the last application, actually, I can say this, the last application was rejected by the Forest Service, which means that there was support. We had somebody offer support from the community, but the Forest Service was not in support. So the Forest Service is not going to let just anything happen. They're extremely diligent and will know better what kind of turbines to put in and exactly what studies need to be done in order to make sure that there isn't a negative impact on either the visual or the environmental forest. So I think it's important to point out that this is not an approval in any sense of the word. This is just to say that there are people in the town that would like to see some wind energy, and I'm one of those.
Thank you. Come on. Oh.
Hi, I'm Ron Perry, a long-time Wrightwood resident. From what I hear, I'm sure there are people probably for it in the town, but don't you think it would be a good idea to advertise this to all the people in the community so they can make a decision rather than we making a decision and you make a decision on hearsay or a few people for it or against it? I think this needs to be publicized so that the community that you represent can have a say and they can give you a direction as to what decision they want made. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you. Oh, sorry, Lynn.
Lynn Crawford. This is just a piece of information, and it addresses a question that Tyrone had. Several years ago, I was in a meeting of the San Marino National Forest. Jody Noron, who is the supervisor, the meeting has nothing to do with what she brought up. But what she brought up was the fact that she had just denied wind turbines in Cajon Pass because of the bird migrations through the pass. And I thought it was interesting. I didn't know anything about this one way or the other. I had no opinion. Although it's interesting that one person had the power to say yes or no.
Wow. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
Yeah, Randy.
And guys, correct me if I'm wrong. I just got back from vacation. My email was inundated with this. I'm Randy Marbach from the Wrightwood Property Owners Association. And before I retired, I was at Kaiser leading a lot of big projects.
Can't hear you.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
And when a project such as this comes along, we used to call that a qualified idea. And a qualified idea says, hey, how about we do this or explore things? But based on the material we've seen so far, there's not enough input, echoing what Brad said, which I said. Whether or not it's something we should be done, we need more input. And then the person that made a comment about publicizing it, that needs to be public. As the property owners, based on our charter, we can't even say whether our members would be for it or against it yet without running a survey. So that's where you guys are. It would be not right for us without the survey to say the property owners are for this. So that's all I want to say.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Can we call an end to the discussion?
Yeah, we're going to have to call an end to the discussion after this, okay? We can't have people coming up over and over again.
Okay. We were just mentioned Lee Cook and Wrightwood. I've lived here for 56 years. And a lady brought up the subject of the birds, of the bird migration and the birds being killed. I have been a glider pilot for about 40 years, and I have a rather unique perspective. Have any of you been to Tehachapi and seen the huge wind farms on the ridges around Tehachapi? Mm-hmm. Right in the middle of those wind farms, down on the flat, there's a glider field. And I have been in the situation a couple of times of flying along in my little glider with no motor to help me, watching the altimeter unwind, knowing I can't go around those things, and hoping I can make it over them before those monster glider slicers get to me. I really have a lot of respect for what a poor bird feels on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Well, we got to come up. We got to vote on this. So, either way.
What did you say, Leo?
Just say start on this side, Leo.
Okay. Well, our choices are we could vote yes on this and sign it and it goes off, or we can ask for or we could table it, ask for more information.
So I would like to get some feedback from the community. I do agree with Steve that we're simply saying go ahead and explore. It's not providing any action. However, that said, in the letter. The reasoning is given for what I just do with the letter for making us more independent. What page was that on?
Right here. You want this one?
There it is. The frequency of electrical outages. We've had several people speak tonight that this would not impact the electrical outages. So I'd like to see a different explanation put in there. So it's something that that we can definitely have integrity behind. And I would like to hear from the community because we are an elected board. I personally absolutely support exploration. I don't think exploration hurts anybody. And we're not the ones to approve or deny this project.
Uh-huh.
They simply need some support to be able to explore. I see absolutely no harm in that. But I would like to give both sides of the community the chance to speak up. We did have some people come and speak up, and I appreciate that. It can be very difficult to come and speak against the masses and voice your opinion. So I'd like to see that done, whether it's petitions or social media. I don't know what the right avenue would be. Go ahead.
Is that a yes or a no?
I'd like to see it come back with those.
Okay.
Changes.
Yeah,
so
I can make a comment, please. In reading the
the support material. It says that there's a meeting on March 25th mm-hmm. with Forestry. I don't know if this letter needs to be done by then. Our next board meeting would be about a week after that.
Right.
This is what FYI.
Well, I would like to go back to one town and ask for clarification on this, and I'd like to see some better explanations of what the benefits are, and could they please explain how this is going to help us in our power outages? Because I don't think that's it just doesn't say that.
And there's one more piece that folks have been talking about, the battery packs. I mm-hmm. think that should be, if that's something.
That's up to them to come up with that.
Yes,
but,
right. If that's something that they want to do or do something.
I mean, if they need help with their with their engineering on the project, that's not us.
Yeah. Cool. But it was suggested that
mm-hmm.
there would be battery packs someplace. I don't know what, if that's in a
oh, that's something Keith mentioned that there would be Tesla Powerwalls or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, Powerwalls.
But it's not defined here anymore.
No, it is not defined in here. That's an additional thing to help support it.
Can we get? I think we're just going to table this and not going to vote on it at all. And we need more information. Can we get more information from one town, and we might bring this up again, and then everybody can see that and come back again if they want to do that.
And again, I'm all for exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
yeah, me
this
too.
Stuff because I think that's a mm-hmm. first step, like the gentleman said. You got to get that
okay.
ball rolling.
So I have a question, Wes. What you were looking for, Tyrone? Is that something that's feasible for one town to give us, given that it hasn't all been explored, it hasn't all been fleshed out, and such?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot more exploration that I'm not really qualified to talk on, but like the idea of doing the power walls,
right.
Taking the money that they get from feeding into the grid and buying a certain number of power walls for people in town, I would love it. They cost $10,000. Basically, you have no electric bill after that, you know.
Well, I think what we're looking for is an explanation of that.
Yeah, sure.
It is.
Sure.
It
I mean,
is
the technical. I'm not qualified at all to talk about the technical.
Well, the board is willing to do. I think you've heard from several board members that the idea of exploring it is
sure. And that's what it is.
Is okay.
Yeah.
But there's no meat here. There's just not enough detail that says, hey, we're gonna provide X number of power walls, and here's how the system's gonna work. And your power bill is going to go down by this much, or be increased by this much, or whatever it is. That sort of thing, it seems to me, if you're going to have a project of this size, that you've got to know that.
I don't know. The problem is it's a little bit of a chicken and egg situation when the forestry has to decide what kind of turbine.
I disagree. If you're dealing with 1.5 megawatts of power and you expect to deliver this much to the grid, that's all stuff that is that could be known before you talk to the Forest Service. I agree with maybe the wind studies, environmental impact studies, you got to talk to the Forest Service first. But the benefits of it to the community aren't in here. Right? It's there's vague references to electric cars and things like that, but these are just... These are not believable ideas.
It's definitely not a very technically detailed letter. So if you want...
We do want to explore it, but I think the community is asking, well, the board is asking, I'm asking for some more detail, because we'd like to have, is this March 25th meeting, is it required to have this community letter at that meeting, or will there be other meetings, or how does that work?
I'm not sure about that timeline. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you guys have already decided. Can Natalie come back in the room?
No, we have to move on.
So I think we should just table this.
We would like to hear more. Okay, we'd like to hear more, sort of some more details of the project. It's not a no. I mean, I want to say yes, and I want to be able
sure.
to explore. this.
And that's what it is. It's exploring, you know. It's not, obviously, any public project that has this many public involvements with the forestry is going to have a lot of public meetings about this when it comes down to specifics, you know. It resembles some sort of planning meeting or something right now. Something to add a little support to keep things going.
Okay, all right. I got to move on, okay?
No problem.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to move on. We're going to table this for more detail. All right, can we take a break?
Oh, really? All right.
Can we take a 5-minute break?
Okay.
Oh, I agree. Okay, we're ready to continue.
Well,
how are the minutes?
Minutes were okay.
Minutes are okay. Yes, John. Sure. Can somebody shut the back door, please?
Will someone please shut the back or the door?
Hey, Keith, can you shut the back door?
The door!
Thank you. I know, I'm louder without a mic.
Oh, well.
Did you read the minutes?
Okay, let's move on to the consent calendar for 6A. We got the special board meeting minutes. How do the minutes look there?
They look Chuck? Okay.
Are you okay with them?
I haven't found any issues.
I would say that a resolution to approve them.
Okay, and mid-year 2018-19 budget adjustment. Is that all right?
Yeah, okay. They look okay.
Okay.
Oh, the one thing I would like to say on the...
Can you come closer to the mic there?
The one thing I would like to say on the revised budget is there is no expense for Parks and Rec. When we went through it, I think there's an existing expense of $770 or
something.
Yeah, so
it's not that there's no expense. There's an expense of $700, right?
Right.
$772.
Yeah, that was... existing, what we've already done, but what I'm saying is part of our net income, we have not designated that for any amount for Parks and Rec at this moment in time.
Yes.
So the
okay.
board's aware of that.
Okay.
And the public.
Okay. All those, can I have a motion to accept
yes.
the consent calendar?
Yeah, I do the motion.
Seconded.
All those in favor of the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Consent calendar is accepted. Item 7, General Manager's Report. And I did read through that, Al, and I apologize. We're bouncing around on agenda items, trying to get it sorted out, but we've had a very short since the last meeting. Tried to chop it down. It didn't work at all. So, I'm sorry that we jerked around like that. Is there any other comments you have on that?
No, other than what I've already said earlier, that I need to be talking with special district on that other issue.
Okay, yep, okay.
We could have, on the have that on the agenda item. On the
oh, okay, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we have an update on when they're starting the audit? Or if they've already started
the
audit?
They're in the process.
They're in the process
EDMP.
Of doing it. We got some material from them that they're requesting and they're filling that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Al. Item 8, February financials.
I didn't have anything on that.
No comments on that?
Nope.
And some of the, you know, I have one comment on the, concerning financials and the budget, you know. We need to fix some of these items. We can't get Cecilia's attention. She said sometime in April, right?
Yeah. Well, hopefully that.
I mean, I think it's important.
But pretty much, yeah, we're looking at it.
Well, I think it's important to fix these things. And
We don't need that for the audit.
Well, the audit will fix the stuff from the previous year, but not. But I mean, on an ongoing basis, it just needs to be booked correctly. Okay.
And Al, thank you for your chart of accounts on that. How close are those to Cecilia's?
To be quite honest, I didn't pay attention to hers.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I've been given, through many discussions, we've talked about how to break things down.
Right.
We weren't quite sure how to put this here or put that there. So the chart of accounts that I've included in the packets just tonight, basically is my concept of how we can break that down.
Right.
Obviously, I want to hear back from the committee. I want to hear back from the board. If you want some adjustments, now's the time to do it, because this is just the format.
Right. Okay.
And I can apply this format to the current year. I can apply this format to last year, so that we can see how it all fits.
And if we can, I talked to you about this last week in your office. If we can get the dates of all the variances, as far as when they were granted their variances, because those variances are only good for a year, then they have to come back and reapply.
Correct.
The way I understand it.
You're correct, and Tammy and I had that discussion, I think perhaps the same day or maybe it was the next day, and she's working on that. We should have that all put together.
Good, thank you.
What Director Franklin had asked about was not just the variances, what the timeline is, because the way things are set up is a rolling timeline. If they apply in April, they need to reapply in April.
Right.
But also to give them, whomever is getting the variance, a letter saying, hey, your variance is coming due in a month or 2 months or whatever.
Courtesy notice. And you have that sheet that you give out every meeting,
right,
where it shows who's got a variance, how much did they
right.
do. If you have their dates there and they're on the mailing list, they're going to see those. I don't want to spring it on them the day it's, expires.
Correct.
So as long as they got enough time to reapply and do those type of things.
Because it's got to be a month or 2 months before the expiration, because it's got to be in front of the board.
Right.
Well, what does the board prefer? 2 months? 1 month?
I would think 2 months.
Yeah, at least.
Ideally.
As long as you put the dates on that sheet that you put together every month, that's fine. And if we need to pick up a phone or call them or whatever. But I agree with Leo, 2 months would be minimum. But they didn't get this variance for eternity. So they need to know that we need to keep looking at these type of issues from a money standpoint. Okay?
Correct.
That's what I had, Wes.
Okay, thank you. I always forget this, Steve. Do we need a motion to accept these February financials, or do we just leave it there?
They're good.
Okay. I don't know why I can never remember that. Thank you. Number 9, Wrightwood cert variance request, discussion of possible action. This is a variance for cert, and so I believe we discussed this a long time ago. What's that?
Stretch is here.
Stretch.
Okay. Okay. Come on up. Thank you.
I apologize for that, Stretch. I don't know why I just call you Stretch.
No, it's fine. I'm Stretch Suba. I'm one of the supervisors with CERT, division supervisor. I'm representing our group tonight. Before it got past their bedtime, there were 8 or 9 of us here, actual members of CERT. They didn't know they were representing CERT, but they were. And we're here. We're just asking for a variance for the times, the 1 hour a month that we meet in this community building for our training sessions.
Okay.
And then the 1 hour for the museum for our supervisors' meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Do you do the training, the Tri-County training?
three Saturdays or
whatever? Yes, that is coming up May 25th, June 1st, and June 8th. Okay. It is the tri-community, what we call basic cert training sessions. It's 8 hours, three consecutive Saturdays here in the community building.
Okay.
What is it that has you, so you said you meet for the supervisors meeting in the museum.
Yes.
And then
yes.
You meet here for?
1 hour per month.
For?
The last 30. It's a training session for the members. We go over, last week we had a session on how to purify water in case the water supply went out. We have Station 14 coming in March to do a refresher course on triage, moving bodies.
Is it? What's the reasoning behind using this building as opposed to the museum for those?
Space.
Because of the number of people.
Oh, because you have open to the public.
Supervisors, no. Supervisors, there's only six of us.
Okay.
And our membership is 60.
Oh.
And we have 25 or 30 people.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I'm inclined to grant the variance.
Yeah, I would like to support it as well.
I am too.
Okay, do I have a motion to accept the cert variance request?
You're not
going
to do that.
No.
I second it.
All those in favor of the cert variance request, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, variance carries.
I know.
Brightwood Blues Society proposal.
There you go.
Item 10. And I think there was some... Al, they came in and...
Janine is here to speak to this.
Yeah. Okay,
we do have a representative from the board.
Okay,
Janine, would you come up to the mic?
Just to give a quick little summary of what I've been to my report, starting on young lady's speech, is that... Greg came in and we talked, but he was here before looking at the building and for the size, which is roughly speaking about a 6 foot by 8 foot.
Case?
They were thinking of back where that back window is in the corner.
Right.
And I explained to him that this wall space over here would possibly be available, depending on what we're going to be doing with those tables.
So that's
a better opportunity over there.
Did you have a plan for those tables?
I certainly do. That's coming up.
Okay.
It's out of order.
Firewood, or what are we going to do?
Bonfire.
I was going to put them on the circle post.
Okay.
So, Janine, is the plan still to try to start this Sunday, or has that been pushed back?
I can't say for sure.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
But there's another opportunity in April at the talent competition where it could be.
Yes, there are okay. Upcoming opportunities.
Okay.
And I think it's probably going to be pushed back.
Okay.
We're just looking for the approval to go ahead and just decide location and to come up with drawings and dimensions to give to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you guys have questions? Or?
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I really understand how large this thing was. And is it lighted?
6 by 8.
6 by 8, okay.
Well,
that's their suggestion, though, right? This
that's
is all
suggestion.
Subject to discussion. Or.
And one thing I did try to emphasize to Dr. Jones was that they need to have pictures, they need to have some drawings put together and stuff to bring to the board so the board can really get a better concept of what's going on.
Okay.
Yes, we're at the point now where we're looking for your approval to put up such a thing, a framed area that would have plaques.
Okay.
And we would then work with you for size, appearance, location.
Okay.
That's sort of thing. We haven't looked into that. It sounds like I'm talking about wind turbines.
Hey, I've got a question here. With all the functions that we have, different organizations that come through here, is there any need for blank wall spaces for any of these activities that come up? Because once we put something up there, if you look around, there isn't any wall space here.
On a rare occasion, there may be, but not too often, though.
So, and would this case, would it be permanent?
I was going to say, I think that originally we had, because we came and looked at the site, we had said, well, possibly we could put it over one of the windows. But you didn't like that idea, I think. And so this other suggestion was made. But we are hoping to have a permanent space.
Okay.
And there would be plaques that would add up and go in there.
I think we would recommend. May I suggest that perhaps we wouldn't grant something permanent, but that it could be renewed, right? It could be renewed on an annual basis. So in case some other needs came up in the community building, that it gives the board an option.
So removable, is not.
Yes.
Okay. Well, and then you know. What happens when we have the most valuable CERT employee and they want to put up plaques for them or the Fire Safe Council or the Village Grind? You know, there's a lot of organizations in this town that would like to acknowledge.
It's just case,
you know, they're
case
employed.
By case.
Yeah, they're not here.
It's case by case.
Well, of course.
Right.
No, I mean, we got to take it as it comes. It's like the variance thing.
Yeah. Right.
Well, once we open it up, then we're there. We're stuck.
This is something that the Blue Society is going to fund and maintain.
Right.
But I do take your point, and it may be that might be more appropriate to incorporate a variety of honorees, because these are supposed to be honorees.
Well, for the Blue Society, though, that's basically what you're asking for. I don't have a problem with that aspect.
This is for the... this is not strictly Blue Society. This is for the arts community in Brightwood.
Okay.
The way that it was put to me was that it was for music and arts, and you know, not just a particular style of art or a particular style of music, but people who contribute within the community in the past.
This
or
is for
presence.
For performing arts, visual arts.
Music art.
I support it as it's being proposed now, and I think that, you know, if there came a case where someone else wanted to do some type of dedication, that, you know, we have the art, that we, you know, have agreed to make the art walls here, but I think that things could be moved around to accommodate other requests in the future. I like the idea, and I would support it as it's being proposed now.
Okay. Right, I would just ask for that one change, or we could. Would you be agreeable to that? That it could be renewed. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So annual renewal.
Annual renewal.
Just like our variances.
Yeah.
2 months before.
Does that mean we would have to make a presentation or write a letter?
That's a great question. So would they need to come back to the board meeting in a year, or simply submit a letter requesting renewal, or what's the procedure?
I would think they would request it again, yes.
Come back to a meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody from the board.
It's a little officious.
In a year.
But
calendar or?
A calendar year, yes.
Yeah.
So if we approve this? Or?
No, we have a call for a vote.
Okay.
Yeah. John, did you have a comment on this topic? Or is,
yes.
Okay. We're willing to hear it.
Thank you. John Lanoux. I might recommend, if it's feasible, that we put some wheels on this cabinet. And then, you know, the plaques need to be mounted solid so they don't bounce off if we move it. But that way, wherever you decide to put it in the room, if an event came up and it needed to be moved, why, That would be something. Lockable wheels. They have locks on the wheel. So that might be an idea.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I... any more questions? Any more questions?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. Can we have a vote? Can I have a motion to accept the Wrightwood Blue Society proposal with the amendment that it be renewed once a year?
So moved. I'll second it.
All those in favor of the Blue Society proposal, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. The motion carries. You said no?
Yeah.
Okay. One no. Motion still carries.
Of course.
Okay.
Well, I thought we were covered down.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And all that stuff.
Finally got a no out of you, Chuck. That's awesome.
So we just do it before we even know anything about it.
No, she should have stepped
in. Okay, Wrightwood Wind Energy Project. Oh, wait, we already did that.
I know. I know.
Where everyone agrees.
Okay, all right. Everybody relax here. All right, Sunshine Ordinance Review. Board meeting start time. So this is, I think, your thing, Michelle.
I want to propose that we move the meeting start time to 6 p.m. We had about 12 people here at our last meeting, and aside from Brent, every single one of them was gone by 9.
Yeah.
And the only reason I think he was still here is because he was last on our agenda. So I understand that we initially, because I lobbied in the beginning for a start time at 6 p.m. I was voted down because of the 7 p.m. and people coming up from the mountain. But I don't believe the majority of people that attend these meetings are working off the Hill. The majority of the faces I see at these meetings are local, and I'd like people to be able to stay for the whole meeting rather than leaving because it's dark or they're tired. And I honestly like to get out of here earlier than we have been lately. And now that the MAC is gone and we have all the public agencies, the agency reports and such, just to get through past the consent calendar is taking us an hour close.
Well,
to
last
it.
Week there was some venting
a lot
over
of
snow
playing,
the
yeah. snow. It's like an hour of public
yeah,
comment.
I don't know what we can do about that.
My proposal is that we move the start time till 6 p.m.
I would support that as well because I think that, you know, throughout being on the board, we've gotten out a number of times past 10 o'clock, and that's very hard for me personally with kids and family and work in the morning and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Late.
I think we do take the risk of alienating people that get off at 5 down the hill. I work down the hill quite often, and I can tell you getting up here sometimes at 6 is difficult. And you know, it just is. It would be difficult for me to make it here by 6.
Do we lose our attorney also?
I think I would just burn in.
I work at your pleasure.
Well, I think if what we're doing is trying to be considerate to our community and our community is leaving at 9 o'clock, then I would say that, if it doesn't work, we can vote and switch it back later on.
Why don't we
split
the difference, start at 6:30?
My proposal is 6, but, I mean, that's my preference is 6 o'clock because people leave.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at 10 till 9 right now. And so if what I understood in the beginning was that the purpose of starting at 7 was for our community to be able to be here. And so I think we need to move it up an hour considering how much time it takes at the beginning, et cetera. But y'all propose whatever you want. We'll vote.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it's going to be hard for me to get here at 6.
But we were all here at 6 last time to take photos. So it's once a month, and
I'm just saying it's difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm already pouring a lot of hours into this thing and everything else, as we all are. I understand. But just physically, logistically, it's hard for me to get from Ontario to here and be ready to go at 6.
Well, if you're late, Leo can always start it up for us.
Okay.
We got it for him.
Yes, come to the mic, Dean.
Come on up,
yes,
Dean.
Yes,
all
the
right,
mic.
Well, so then, well, let me hear what Dean has to say, and then I'll make my motion.
Dean Potter, would it be possible to cut the agenda a little
bit? We tried.
We tried.
There's so many items that
yes.
you...
And we only meet once a month, so we got to discuss them.
Yeah.
But they really tried for this meeting.
Yeah.
They really tried, and
oh, well,
it didn't work.
Oh, well, maybe
yes.
we should meet more than once a month.
No.
No.
I mean, because 4 hours is a lot of time to sit and listen.
Yeah.
4 hours.
Yes.
Okay. So... I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we move the start time of the meeting till 6:30.
Ooh.
And then we'll see how that goes. Because I can always come back and counter again in 2 months if nothing, you know, if it doesn't get
okay.
any better. So I hear what you're saying, Wes, and
okay.
split the difference. So my motion is that we move the start time of our regular board meetings to 6:30.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of the moving the meeting to 6:30, say aye.
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 All those opposed? No.
So motion passed.
Yes.
Yes.
4-1.
Get it on the record.
Yeah, the motion does pass. Changing the meeting time at 6:30.
So we'll bring back a new sunshine ordinance for consent calendar adoption.
Okay.
But by virtue of that action, the next board meeting will be held at 6:30.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, item 13, capital improvement plan.
Al, I would like to add the locking bathrooms on the list. For capital improvements down the line. Okay.
Basically, I've been working on for the last few months a capital improvement plan. Now, it's a capital improvement plan. It's not just, oh, we need a new faucet in the bathroom. Let's see what we can do about that. It's a plan that looks at every part of the district. In our case, all of our facilities, the parking lot, so on and so forth. And trying to give an educated guess on the length of time that that's going to be required, or that's left in the infrastructure before it decays. And, you know, what are we looking at? So that we have a good idea of our cost that's coming down the line. I haven't presented that whole big plan. What I've presented here is a synopsis of the top items, the top 10 items that I think are very pertinent that are going to need to be looked at probably within the next year or so. You know,
are you saying that all of these items here, all 10 items are for the you're thinking within the year?
That's a good possibility.
It's a good possibility. Okay, so let's just start from the top because I believe that you said that you and I were talking about this briefly. We exchanged a couple of small emails on this. That the top priority thing would be first. That the thing that you thought would be the top priority would be listed first. Okay. So that's going to be folding chairs with seat cushions, community building, place all the red chairs.
And in our other facility, the old firehouse,
mm-hmm.
we have some plastic, I don't know what you call it.
Blinds.
composite tables.
Okay.
We have the chairs with the cushions in them. They fold up. They take a lot of, but they're very compact. They don't take much space.
Okay.
The chairs that we're sitting on right now, I don't know what the ages are of them, but I will say this, that within the last year, year and a half, they have been, it's kind of like the seat cushion in my car. That driver's seat all of a sudden got a half an inch rip, and now it's starting to span and expand, and I'm seeing more material going out. Well, the same things are going with these chairs. If you look at the chairs, they're getting very, very close to being deplorable. I'm personally considering them deplorable right now. So what I'm looking at is to replace the chairs, which would open up this whole side back here. Where they're being stored, it would help with cleaning the facility because we don't have to deal with them. They leave a lot of marks on the floors that we have to deal with, and these chairs, the replacement chairs, can easily be stored in this closet back over here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have the chairs down for $150. We can go at $50. We can go at $100. Whatever. $150 would be pretty much uniform for a lot of events that come on through here. We're getting a lot of performing arts type stuff, music events coming on, and so that would be a decent number. Number two, the folding tables. These tables over here, we're spending a lot of time fixing them, keep them going. They're getting chips in them. It takes two people to properly fold them and unfold them.
Would you want to replace those folding tables with the same kind of folding tables, or
no,
what?
That's a great, great question. More like what we have in the other facility, that they're 6 foot or 8 foot long. The legs fold in. They can be stored underneath the stage.
Oh, so that clears up an awful lot of space over there.
That clears up a lot of space back in that corner.
Okay.
And then those metal chairs over there, a lot of them came from outside in the shed, and they should be put back in the shed.
Okay.
So we
can clear up that whole
space. We can clear up that whole area back there.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
And so are those tables used frequently, those ones in the back?
Yes.
Besides for this type of
a lot.
Okay.
Every day, right?
Yeah.
Right. Here daily.
School.
I always see them out.
Snowline.
They got them out. Yeah.
And they're kind of dangerous. I've had a couple people get injured when they get.
We've had a few of those tables as they are right now get a little wobbly.
Yes.
Yeah. They've fallen over.
That's how one of them got broken.
Mm-hmm.
So to replace those with some different tables, that would be $2,800 to $3,500. These are just estimates, right?
These are estimates. I can get maybe a little bit better price.
Okay.
And I think it just depends on where we get it from.
Right.
And what's on sale, because I love sales.
How many tables do we have right now?
We have 24 right now, and this is 30 tables.
Wait, we have 20. Are you counting each of those as two?
Yeah.
Okay. You're counting them as two. Okay, so the new tables would be half.
Correct.
Okay.
These are 12 foot long, so each table right now that I'm talking about is 6 foot long.
So,
which is equivalent to the ones that we have.
When would we need an additional 6 tables? Like when I've been here for dinner events and such, there's barely room to get everything set up and still have room to serve or seat people?
Some of the bigger events. Use some extra tables for serving. Those triangle tables there, and there's another one over there, and I believe there's another one in the kitchen. They cool those out. They try to utilize things. If we don't need them, we don't have to.
Okay.
We don't have to get them. It's my suggestion.
Okay, thanks.
And with the chairs, I believe the newer chairs are going to be a little smaller than these that we have here. Right. The folding chair.
Yeah.
Right. The
footprint's
so
a little smaller.
Okay. All right. So as I look down this list, there's a couple of really big items on here. $30,000 to $40,000 for community building, storage building, park restroom roof. So you think those roots are not going to... Do we have somebody come out and look at those or and tell us that?
I've had a couple people look at them. The restroom and the shed have quite a few shingles missing.
Okay, but can it be repaired, or is it... Or this is completely re-roofing it.
This is re-roofing.
Okay, but did they come out and say, hey, you need to re-roof this, or can we repair this? It'll go another 2 years, or what is the...
Yeah, we could repair them.
We could patch it.
We could probably patch them. The roof here, section of it, what people call the new section, which is probably about 20 years old, is over here on this side. The back section, if you look at it, I'm surprised it's still there. But, again, we could probably do a section of the roof.
Well, could we have somebody come out and look at it and evaluate that and then get some more realistic numbers for this? This is quite a big number.
And I can.
I mean, unless you think that's crazy or something, I just, you know, we should try to get the most out of it, but we want to be responsible.
Yeah.
We want to be responsible, you're correct. And these numbers do include prevailing wage percentages to them. You know, if you didn't have that, you'd be looking at about 40% less.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the way it is. Okay.
Now, where's the community building office expansion? Where would that go? I mean, you'd
basically
take out that wall and...
Basically, the office that we have right now, I'd like to revamp that. Because it's really hard to work in there and get a lot of things accomplished. And then the closet next to it that we're using for some storage, I'd like to expand that out and perhaps make that like a GM office, keep the privacy with it, but at least refurbish it on the inside. And doing so, then if we have to have private meetings with employees, or with the public, something in confidence, I have a place to do that.
Are you talking about the same area, or are you talking
right.
about moving a wall?
No, external wall. It's all internal.
Okay.
Okay, so, well, I mean, on number eight, I'd like to see keep this updated and get some more realistic numbers on here. And maybe this isn't even on here, because all these items are within a year, right?
Well, what we had talked about in our emails and our conversations was, you know, what I consider the most pressing and prevalent right now.
Right. Oh, okay.
And so, you know,
top 10 items.
I mean,
but this may not. If we patch it, then it's different. Okay. I got you.
Yeah, we could. I could try to get a ripper out here and have them look at the roof and say, A, what did it cost to replace it?
Yeah.
And B, what did it cost to patch it?
Okay. Then we got the community building floor, which, yes.
What about the security system? What's the... I mean, I know
well,
we...
Well, that is that... the security system that we currently have is four cameras. There's the one on the front door.
Oh, so you mean that for the cameras. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, not the alarm system on the building.
No.
See, that's what I
thought. Oh, okay, gotcha.
No, the
I thought the same thing.
I didn't specify cameras, but it's
too large. This is the
camera. I was thinking it's not right.
What does old firehouse cabin mean? I know where the old firehouse is, but what does that mean?
The cabin. In the back of the old firehouse, Mr. Lanou mentioned a couple of meetings ago, there's a tree that's about a 200-year-old to 250-year-old tree. Next to that tree, the tree is kind of growing into a cabin that they use for a demonstration cabin. I think it's a, 1930s demonstration cabin.
It's a display. It's a display.
And the tree, and these big pine trees grow about a quarter inch to a half an inch a year. So it's basically growing in there. I believe you put the cabin in 2004?
Yes.
Okay. And now it's got an infestation of insects. I've heard anything from bark beetle to fire ants, or not fire ants, carpenter ants. It's got something in there eating up the wood. And I have not been able to get a stemmer to come out of the wood. I don't think it is bark beetle.
So what is this item for? This
so this item would be for two things. One, to either remove and replace that cabin, because it's also over our septic tank.
Yeah.
And we need access to that septic tank, and we don't have access to that.
Oh, okay.
The cabin and the tree are in combat. I favor the tree because the tree is helping.
Mm-hmm.
The cabin, the 3 to 5 thousand would be possibly a window of basically removing it and probably fixing it and getting an exterminator in there and seeing what they can do.
So what's the infestation on the tree or the cabin?
The cabin. The tree is okay.
The cabin has logs attached to it, so it looks like a log cabin on the outside, and there may be some infestation in those logs. They've been sitting here and on the cabin since 04, and they were sitting on private property here in town for 5 or 6 years before that, and so we didn't see any bugs there. You can see a little bit of sawdust.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, part of our responsibility here is to take care of the, I mean, part of why the CSD is here is to take care of these infrastructure items, among other things, but it's our responsibility to look after these things. So do we want to do any of these items? I mean, we have $40,000 in the budget, right? So do we want to do any of these things right now, or tell or give Al direction on what things we can get done? We can't get everything done here, but we can prioritize and get some of these things done.
It'd be nice to have some direction and step by step be able to take care of things. But explain more to this list. I'm just not having it shown here. But these are what I consider the priority.
These are the priority items, right?
These are the priority items.
Okay.
I think we should do the top five. Let's go through the motions, the exercise, and see how our general manager can effectively execute on taking
Well, wait a minute.
Spot.
Can we add all these up? Yeah. That seems like that's more than we got.
16. They're small.
I think the first five is under
45.
Mm-hmm.
About 20,000.
Yeah, because we don't want to go down to zero. We haven't done the reserve yet, but we want to keep the reserve there in case, hey, the roof's got a leak, and we need to fix that.
And maybe Al's got some more information next meeting.
Well, do we want to revisit this and approve, approve the first couple items and see how those go, and then we revisit it at a future meeting and approve the next one?
Okay.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's kind of, he's listed them up for the most severe things that we need to get done, and I think having new folding chairs in here would be
chairs and the tables.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys agree?
Yeah.
Don't you think the roof would be more important?
Well, we don't think the roofs are important. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we don't think the roof is not needed right away. That we could fix it without having to replace it.
Correct.
It's not leaking or anything.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that infestation thing that's been going on for some time, that's only... It's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
It will. It may affect the tree. It may affect the fire hounds, but from what I can tell right now, and I've had an arborist out there, it hasn't. Whatever the infestation is within the structure.
Okay.
Now, I have a question in terms of the number of chairs and tables. Currently, how many padded chairs do we have?
50.
And how many folding chairs are back there?
100 and something. Not just back there.
Just back there.
Just back there. I think about 80, I think.
So I would say 80? Okay, and 50. So I would suggest that we replace the same volume or number that we currently have. Okay. Not to mean that we couldn't go up in the future, but that is so far the amount of tables and chairs seems to work for most groups or every group I've been here for.
Right.
Once in a while we have to go to the shed. But considering there's other things on here underneath them that are structural and that kind of thing, I'd like to see us do it, but be as conservative as possible so that we can work our way down the list.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so 50 chairs, 30 tables, is that what we're talking about?
I'd say 24 tables to replace what we've currently
24
got.
24 tables, 50 chairs.
Are there going to be 8-foot tables or 12-foot? These are 12-foot tables or 8-foot?
Well, these are 2-foot tables.
These are two.
That's the way I look at them.
Yeah, so each of these tables, we have 12 of these right now, Leo, and he's counting each one as two.
Now, in the difference between an 8-foot table and a 6-foot table and the price is rather minimal.
Yeah.
It's like $10. So if you want to go to 8-foot tables, and this is going up a 6-foot, so if you want to go to 8-foot tables, I can do that.
Yeah. I don't know what the function
is. Yeah, I don't know if this stuff would fit right. No, I mean, we should use the same.
I'd keep the same dimensions as you can, because
I think you made the comment it's hard to get around in here.
It can be very, Snowline Player events, and they've done the dinner theaters.
Yeah.
It's cramped.
Okay, all right, so we want to give Al direction on doing 50 chairs, 30 tables. What else?
Now, Michelle had, Snyder had mentioned the equivalent of it. Are you referring to just
24 tables?
Just the 50 chairs, or do you want the ones in the corner?
Well, if the point is to get that out of here, then maybe we should go for 100 chairs, such that they can be stored back there and get that thing out of here. But I would say 50 or 100 to start.
Maximum
100. I don't know how much the carts hold, or what the rest of the board.
They hold quite a few, but.
What do you guys think about?
I think it's great, 100.
Do 100?
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on this list we want to do? That just those items, or
Leo? I think that's a good start.
Okay.
Let's see. Have this back on our agenda for the next meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. With costing and all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Do we need a motion for that, Steve, or is this just that direction to the general manager?
Well, it's up to the board if that's direction to the general manager to go ahead and make those purchases, then I would suggest a motion.
Okay. Can I have a motion?
I move that we accept the first two items on the capital improvement plan to include 100 folding chairs and 24 folding tables.
I second it.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Huh? The motion carries.
Thank you, Al.
Okay, Park and Recreation Event Coordinator.
No.
So Michelle and I have been working on this for a little while, but we basically honed the position requirements that we originally proposed. We met and kind of made some slight adjustments, but overall it stayed pretty much the same. And the last direction we got from the board was that we could advertise, float the job to the public and see if there was some feedback. And so I brought in 10 letters of feedback that I got from via email in support of hiring someone. And Al kindly put together a brief, just small budget that shows the minimal, amount that this would cost to the maximum amount of what we proposed as far as the hourly wage. And here we also included the agreement that Steve drafted for the independent contracting services. So we wanted to know if anyone had any questions.
Yeah, for Steve, because I had asked about this the first time this came through. And basically the insurance clauses for the independent contractor, from workers' comp to liability insurance, car insurance, general liability. even at $23 an hour, it seems like an awful lot for one person.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
It was drafted with that in mind.
Right.
If the board wants to reduce the insurance requirements, that's certainly within your prerogative.
And is the board, are we really, Natalie and Michelle, want an independent contractor type of position? Because I'm still concerned about them using existing staff to handle different things for, as an example, the softball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going to set it up? Who's going to do the lines? It's going to fall to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the staff is over the hours,
mm-hmm.
and it's just going to continue to be over the hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already given them the raise up to the max, 15,
mm-hmm.
and that concerns me.
Yeah. So originally when we put this together, it was with kind of the goal to take, don't add any more to Al's workload as far as having to manage another employee. So in our mind, the way we wrote the, you know, job requirements is that this person would be, you know, a self-driven person that would pretty much handle the most of it on their own. But I can understand what you're saying about, you know, they would have to interface with the CSD staff to, you know, organize certain portions, as was softball, where you have to mark the field,
right.
or, you know, maybe take out the trash and things like that. So
and
that's something that Michelle and I both understand, and we're coming kind of to the rest of the board to, you know, get your thoughts on if there was a way to massage this to make it more workable for the district, because we want to see someone hired to do this, because this person, you know, in my mind, I think there's money for this, and I think there's only the ability to make more money for this. And if that person is self-driven and can create more programs, just as softball was, I did kind of the rough numbers again today, and, you know, combined summer and fall, we collected about $10,900 in registration fees, and it cost us about, $3,325 in paying referees, and there was a little bit of startup cost, maybe $5,000 to $1,000 in, you know, equipment, but that was startup cost,
right.
So we own that now. We don't need to buy that anymore. So just in my mind, at the end of that, that's leaving us with about $7,000 that we made just from those two softball leagues. So if this person is driven enough to create more than that, and, you know, my plan is to have softball again summer and fall, so I feel that we can depend on these numbers again this coming year, that, you know, that supports $7,000 of this $17,000 here for the proposed position. So,
well, that's seven of the 17, but so how would you get the rest of it?
I was just hoping we could use it out of our budget, or that person could start working to creating more programs to pay for that.
Yeah, so I get up all the time with flag football for the kids. I mean, that's a big program in this area. And that's a great opportunity for the kids to get involved in parks and recreation. The softball is great for all the adults, but I think having flag football for the kids in the summertime would be a great turnout. And I know there's a lot of kids here that will support that, because I see it when I come in my restaurant. They ask me all the time, "When's flag football?"
So what would you charge them?
Well, they go, some of them go down to Hesperia.
Right. What would you charge them, though, Leo? To do it like Natalie charges?
I don't know that.
$350
for the team.
Registrations?
$375 for sponsoring a team. Are you talking about sponsoring teams?
Softball.
No, the softball.
Yeah.
Don't the players pay something into that?
Yeah, they pay a team registration fee. So,
right.
So that was $375 in fall, but we started with $350 in summer when we started it.
Right.
Because
you had more teams and that type of thing.
Yes. Yeah. So
but my point is the participants are the ones that are paying that aspect of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And so to Leo's point, we have a lot of great community programs, you know, for children that offer like AYSO for soccer and, you know, Wrightwood Little League for Little League and stuff. But there are a lot of programs that aren't offered here. Like Leo said, you know, they'll drive the children to Hesperia or
right.
Victorville to be a part of the parks programs down there. And, I mean, just
my thought is if, you know, you could take advantage, AYSO as a fall program, you could take advantage of, you know, offering a spring program or even, what do you call it, like a training for kids to do like a springtime training, anything like that. I mean, really the possibilities are endless if, you know, someone was driving it and doing the research like Monica and I did to survey other type of, you know, communities and how they structure their programs. That's how we got the softball rate schedule, and people paid it and people participated, and it was very successful.
And my question was, in Hesperia for the flag football for the kids and that, what do they charge them?
I don't have any knowledge about that.
Okay, it's not the CSD picking up that cost.
No.
Okay, because right now we got to find $10,000 someplace.
You know, just to repeat, the
idea behind this position is that it's generating income.
Right.
So that $10,000 is not there now, but the whole premise of this position is to generate income. So in a year, it could be a completely different story if we get somebody in this position that creates this kind of stuff. And parents pay all sorts of money for dance classes and sports and the football program that Serrano runs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's stunning what things cost these days.
Right.
And I think we could easily find a price that will be significantly cheaper than most things the kids do and yet easily clears our budgeting needs. I understand we got to have the money to be able to fund it.
Yeah.
But I just want to make sure we're not getting away from the idea that the whole point of the position is to generate income.
No, I understand that, but what we just talked about was Natalie says we have 7,000
mm-hmm.
positive,
mm-hmm.
although that also is part of our 42,000 net income, that 7,000, even though, you know, we want to break it off into the sports league, but that's in our bottom line. Excuse me. So if that's the 7,000 and this position is, what, 17, so we're looking at 10,000 just to start off the day, and we don't have, and I mentioned it at the start of the meeting, we don't have a Parks and Rec budget.
Mm-hmm.
We did not put any money aside for
Parks and Rec at this time. But the idea is that if you hire this person, then it would be more than 7,000, right? That they would.
Yeah. Well, I would hope they would cover the 10 and more.
So that's what Michelle's point
is. Yeah. I agree with that.
Okay, but the not having a Parks and Rec budget is kind of that chicken and the egg thing. One of the reasons maybe my memory's not correct here, but I thought I recall that one of the reasons we don't have it in the budget is we don't have programs that need the funding right now.
That's right.
So we chose not to put it in the budget for that reason.
Right. Plus, we're limited on net income also.
Absolutely. But it is one of our four, you know, areas of jurisdiction.
And we can change a budget.
And I think it's appropriate for it to be in the budget. It should be in the budget. And the reason it's not is that we wanted to focus on other things in our first year, right? Which we've done.
Okay.
So I'd like to see it get in the budget. And
how low would you want to take our net reserve?
Hey, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
So here's another analogy I want to bring up. So it's okay for our general manager to look at the grant for $200,000. He'll probably spend 40 or 50 hours on putting stuff together. We might not even get that.
Right.
What we're doing here is for our kids.
Right.
In our community. And for us to help develop. And I guarantee you, if we are successful like we are with the softball, the community is just waiting for some other event for Parks and Recreation.
Right. Okay.
And this is for the kids.
I'm not in disagreement with that.
But I'm just putting some analogy. Everybody's focusing on the money here, but what about the general manager going after the grant?
Yeah.
And we don't even know where we're going to get it.
Right.
And he'll probably spend 50 hours on it.
Right.
Okay. That's a lot of money.
Do you have a public comment?
I do. I'm Janine Brand.
A little louder.
I'm sorry. I just was thinking as I was listening to you that one town is interested in helping to develop and create this kind of community endeavor. And it seems to me this is a perfect opportunity to go to them for a grant to start this up, this idea of Parks and Rec and a person to fill that position. This is the kind of thing that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Janine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And also, aside from, you know, developing these programs that you charge a fee like that, we also, we've looked at things where people could come and teach classes here. Someone, you know, say you want to have a painting night or something where people come to learn to paint. There's other communities that structure it where you, the CSD would get a certain percentage and then the teacher would get a certain percentage for putting the class on. And those are other options to where, you know, people aren't paying like a league registration fee, but it is contributing to the CSD, but it's utilizing our facilities to kind of bring more diverse, you know, ideas up here.
Okay. John, you have a comment?
Yes. John Lanou. I've mentioned this time and time again, and you briefly, Natalie, discussed the funding, I guess you kind of run through it a little bit, $7,011. Is that the other figure, $7,011?
I don't remember the 11. Seven net, and then that leaves 10. You know, with this coordinator, that leaves ten that we'd have to fill in.
Now, we've talked for months and months about helping with sports league funds to, as needed, need be in the future for the Wrightwood Village Trail. The property owners have taken over the trail itself. But they're going to need some funding. Wes, you mentioned months and months ago that the sports league funds could be split up partially amongst getting this coordinator.
It was just an idea, right?
Pardon?
It was just an idea at the time.
And getting the coordinator and also having other funds, not just for the trail, but there could be other entities coming along in the future where some of that funding would be needed. And like that, Michelle was mentioning, why it's supposed to be, the coordinator is supposed to be generating some more projects so that they'll have more funding. But I just want the board to consider and keep that in mind that, you know, like the Wrightwood Village Trail, we could use that funding as we speak. So keep that in mind.
Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, so what's in front of us is, you know, should we hire a Parks and Rec event coordinator. I like it. This is a nice breakdown. It's really nice. I like that. Is there, what do you think, Leo?
I think you already know what my thoughts are.
Okay. Natalie, you're for it. Chuck?
I'm actually curious to hear, you know, your thoughts on an independent contractor versus hiring just an employee to the CSD.
For me?
Yeah, or anyone else.
I think having it isolated to take it off, because Al's going to be busy for the next 6 months, 9 months, just with the audit alone.
And capital improvement.
I don't think I have to say anything more. He's going to be tied up. So I think this has to go in. And then they would report back to the board, once a month.
Kind of like
status.
Instruction.
Okay.
Yeah,
they would get
retained by the board at the subsequent meeting, and the contract would be entered into between the board and that individual.
And how long is it? And what is the meat of the contract here, Steve? What's the term of the contract?
Section 6.7. The district would have the ability to terminate on 10 days notice.
Okay. For any reason?
For any reason.
No reason. Okay.
So you one thing about it being an independent contract relationship is that you don't have to give your typical public agency due process, where it's what's called the Skelly rights, where there's notice and opportunity to respond and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the requirement on like workers' comp and the general liability and that? What kind of levels would we need?
On page 42, I've written what the policy requirements are. Again, those are malleable. The workers' comp language, I would probably keep, though I'm guessing this individual will
will likely not have any employees working for him or her. So we can modify that language to reflect that. General liability, I think that's within the discretion of the board, depending upon the nature of the services being provided, what type of coverage you might need. If you need, whether your own insurance would be enough. Automobile liability, I guess if that individual is going to be driving during his or her, as part of his or her scope of work. Now keep in mind we're phrasing this as a scope of work, and that's not attached to this material. But it's not a job description, it's a scope of work. And then I'm not sure we need four or five. The property, the professional liability, I don't know that this would be a...
There's just not enough money in it.
Yeah. I don't think that's necessary, or even really the property...
I mean, the key
if
here...
The workers if she or he is using volunteers because the staff is busy and this independent contractor has some people that they have blackmail on and they're going to volunteer for helping her or him, would they be required to have workers' comp on a volunteer staff?
All you would need would be a paper from workers' comp saying that you don't have any employees. They would just fill out a piece of paper and say,
okay.
Yeah, so I have a question about this general liability. I mean, we'd have to find out from our insurance company if this contractor would be covered, Al.
I can find out.
Okay. So what are we accepting? Let's say we vote yes today. Some of these details are not fleshed out in the agreement.
Well, all you would be authorized would be to
flesh these out and go ahead.
Well, would be to float the agreement.
Okay.
And publicize it. And
right.
Okay. Take applications.
Okay.
And then bring it back to the board, and the board would then decide
okay.
where to go. And that would then lead to contract negotiations.
Okay.
And Natalie and Michelle, what level are you talking about salary-wise?
It depends
or hourly?
It depends on the applicant. To me, that was the point of having a range, was if you bring in somebody who's...
It's a big range. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like it though. I mean, there's.
It gives us a lot of flexibility
yeah.
for a starting starting salary as well as
mm-hmm.
room to grow.
And if for some reason we have a person in this position, and after 6 months or a year, they haven't covered the expenses.
Right.
We can cancel.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know that it's carte blanche for a year. I mean, this is something we need to
right.
day. This is part of the point of them reporting at every meeting.
Yes.
Right.
Is making sure things are on track the way we envision, and being able to offer whatever support may be needed, and making sure that the focus is on income generating.
Right.
At least in the beginning, right? So that
yeah.
we can fund the position
yeah.
and. So I see us keeping a close eye on that.
Yeah.
You'd have to. Yeah.
All right. Can I have a motion to accept this?
One thing I will want to remind the board, though, is that by retaining an independent contractor rather than an employee, in order for the district to accurately consider that individual independent contractor. We could write all over the contract that it's an independent contractor, but the Supreme Court about 6 months ago entered a decision called the Dynamex case, which established an ABC test for independent contractors, and we would need to meet those requirements.
Okay.
And those requirements take some of the ability for the board to direct and control the work out of your hands. So otherwise, they are considered an in fact employee.
Right.
So you, just so that the board is aware that I think what
Director
Lopiccolo was talking about was self-driven. I think that's an important aspect of this. is that there will be some loosening of the reins to allow this person to do his or her thing and report to the board, certainly.
Yeah.
But there will cannot be any micromanaging.
As an independent contractor, if they're doing actual work, meaning bringing out the fences for the softball or lining the fields and that, is that okay as an independent contractor?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the Park and Recreation Event Coordinator?
Yeah, I'll create a motion to create a Park and Recreation Event Coordinator.
And a second?
Sure, I'll second it. Can I?
Of course, yes.
I don't know if the committee...
Yes. All those in favor of creating a Park and Recreation Event Coordinator, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Abstain.
Abstained. Yeah. So we have one abstention.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to have you, Jeff.
Motion carries,
thank
by
you.
The way. Okay. Item 15, 2019-20 budget template. I don't know what that is.
We don't have it. It was supposed to be in the packet.
It's in the packet.
Oh, it is.
It says item to be distributed at meeting. Oh, it's at the back?
No.
Yeah. There we go. Mine was at the back. Got it.
Don't leave. Yep. Part of the count?
Template.
Oh, okay.
Get to the good stuff, guys. Come on.
Okay, what are we doing here?
If they're old, can I leave?
What is this about,
Al? One no vote. You're here for the week.
What this is about is that Director Franklin asked me to make sure you get a startup account.
Okay.
And we had a discussion on what he'd like to see in that chart. And,
okay.
You know.
Yeah, breaks it down.
Numeric categorization. Basically. Putting things where they need to be.
This is yeah. Based on Cecilia's accounts?
No.
Or
no.
No.
Okay. How are we going to do that? I don't understand. Why would this be, why is this different? Or why? I mean, we have to go by what's in QuickBooks and what the chart of accounts are, and if we need to fix them there, we need to fix them there. I don't understand what we're doing here.
It was to give us, or give me an idea of where we're putting different categories under, or different sections under the categories, because Cecilia, we haven't been able to meet with and ask her to do that through her accounting aspect.
Oh, I see.
So in lieu of your meeting with Cecilia.
Right, which we never got.
Yep, got it.
Okay, so Al took what he had and showed where we're putting the porta potties, the snow removal, the different
okay.
subcategories in, just to give me some type of an idea of where this stuff is going. Correct?
Yes. Very true.
I don't know. I really think we ought to meet with Cecilia and get the chart of accounts straightened out.
No question.
I don't know what the purpose of this is.
Well, do we need to take any action on it?
No.
Okay. It was to give us information and an
okay.
idea of the organizational structure.
Yes. All right.
So.
I got it now.
Great.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yes, I would prefer to have it come from Cecilia.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Future board meeting. Discussion of possible action. When's the next board meeting? That is April 2nd, 2019 at 6:30 p.m.
April 2nd?
Yeah.
The only thing I have from tonight was to make sure the capital improvement plan's back on the agenda.
Right. Right.
The NIP, we're going to have to do our budget.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Right.
We really need to get these budget things going. We also need to get the solid waste going.
Oh, yeah.
Solid waste.
What do you mean? Get it rolling.
The ordinances that we...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The ordinances and publicized...
We removed that from this
right.
meeting,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
To try to keep it short.
We can't really cut it down the road
no.
anymore.
Yeah.
No. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
Kick that can down the
road. Okay. Put the sunshine ordinance on the same calendar.
Yes.
That's right.
At 6:30.
6:30.
Do you want the reserve policy addressed again?
Yes.
Okay.
And if we do the first two items on the capital improvement, can you add the locking bathrooms on the bottom? Not this, you know, it's not.
You're going to keep 10 things on at all times.
I have a lot of questions on the locking bathrooms.
Yeah, I don't even know if physically it can be done. I'm just going off of what the post office is talking about.
They haven't done it yet.
Hold on a second.
No.
The post office, they're going to have a keypad, from what I understand, for people to have entrance and to leave. They're going to know who's in it. What I understand what you're saying is that you want the bathrooms to automate the lock at a set time.
I would love to. It would save us,
and
you know, the,
if we're gonna be,
the time.
If we're going to have people inside. If we're
but
have
once they walk out, it would lock behind them.
I don't even know if it's feasible, Al. It's just something that I've
been
working on.
I've been working on it, and I really haven't come up
right.
Yeah, but I haven't given up on it.
Okay.
Okay, if there's nothing else, the meeting is adjourned.